conference call.
I have like Surge Paper 3. Is that the latest one?
Well, there's two latest ones. The Surge Paper 3 is the one that I sent out. The paper that Tara sent out this morning, which is still just Surge Paper, may have some other changes in it that aren't reflected in mine, and mine may have some changes in it that aren't reflected in Tara's. We'll have to compare them at some point.
Okay.
But one of the things that I really do want to talk about in the Surge Paper 3 is our expectations. Did anyone get a chance, when I sent my email like yesterday or the day before, whenever that was, did anyone get a chance to go back and look at our expectations as we described them in Section 3.4?
I did.
What do you think? Did you agree with what was there? Did you have any questions or comments on that?
I mean, I think from when I remember starting it, I remember those being our expectations. But the only one I was, you know, kind of re-questioning was that very upper left-hand corner.
Okay.
But, I mean, I could see an argument going either way. I mean, I don't know if I would expect as much context from them.
Yes.
That was sort of the one that I was like, I'm not sure if I do agree with this one anymore.
Yeah. Did anyone else get a chance to look at the expectations?
No, I did not. I'm taking a look at it now.
Yeah, if you pull up Section 3.4 in the Surge Paper 3, you will see some of what I'm talking about. There's the section that I've commented on in the paragraph. And actually, the funny thing is, so I believe I wrote this section a long time ago, and then I wrote the results section more recently, and when I went back and read it all the way through, I directly contradict myself between the sentence that's commented on here and a sentence that's commented on later in the results section. Well, it's later in the paper. It's towards the beginning of the results section. Like, I actually say the exact opposite. And to be honest, I'm not so sure I agree with what's commented on here, the comment H3, the sentence that's highlighted with that. I'm not so sure I agree with that more. And I started to think more about the table as well, and I think Jackie and I probably have similar misgivings about that upper left corner where I don't know if they would use context or not. So I started thinking about what the theory of belief bias, that's our theoretical framework, so I started thinking about what that would really tell us, and that's what's highlighted in purple here. So I think what we can say is the student in this particular case, since the study agrees with them in the upper left corner, they're going to agree with it. So they're going to believe the conclusion is valid because they agree with the conclusion. So they'll say, they'll probably believe that it was a good study or just believe that it was a good conclusion overall. And since the study, in fact, did use random sampling methods, it's really hard to say if they give us a good statistical answer, if they recognize the random sampling methods, we can't tell if that was good statistical reasoning or it may actually be evidence of confirmation bias. They may not be thinking at all about the sampling. They might just be thinking, well, yeah, this makes sense to me, so of course it's a good conclusion. So I'm not really sure there's much of anything we can do with that corner, actually. I mean, there might be cases where we would see those students with extreme confirmation bias, where they really would bring in all of that extra context. But some of the statistical answers might also be indicative of confirmation bias, and there's absolutely no way for us to tell whether it's confirmation bias or good statistical reasoning. I think there's something similar that happens then in the middle row in the right corner, where they're going to disagree with the study, or they're going to think the conclusion's not valid because they don't agree with it, so they're going to try and pick apart the study, and they may bring up those sources of bias, and since it's actually bias, again, we won't be able to distinguish between what might be actual confirmation bias and what could be good evidence is actually good statistical reasoning.
And I think that might be something we could talk about in the discussion, that's why, you know, an interview setting may be a better way to analyze some of this, because we realize now that, you know, looking at short test answers, it's really difficult to determine whether or not what reasoning they're using, because we really can't go back and question them and say, you know, and sort of pry a little bit deeper, that, you know, perhaps in an interview setting it would be easier, or we would be more likely to be able to determine whether they're using statistical reasoning or if there is some confirmation bias coming into their answers. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think that's kind of the conclusion I came to. I think it almost gives us something of a methodological point out of this paper, too. The way we collected the data in class was really easy, and it was very convenient for us, but I think, you know, with a question like this, it's just too hard to actually glean much from those, unless we have those cases like where it's really extreme, like that preppy woman from France kid.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is just too hard. It's too hard to read.
Yeah.
Because they're explaining their reasoning, but they're not explaining, it's almost like they're not explaining their reasoning behind their reasoning. You know, like they don't explain their reasoning deep enough for us to glean something from it in the test answers.
Well, how many arguments did we have over, you know, responses over, you know, well, I think that this student meant this, and I think this student meant that, you know, I mean, we had so many disagreements on coding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that we want to put that to paper, but, you know, but, I mean, we are. We're looking at, you know, words on a page and trying to glean from that exactly what the student was thinking. And that's, you know, without being able to clarify anything. In an interview setting, you can clarify points.
Yeah. You know?
So...
Because the other thing I was thinking about with this is then sort of the off diagonals from the ones we've been talking about, the upper right cell and the upper, or the middle left cell. Like with the upper right cell in particular, I was realizing, you know, this is going to be a case where they agree with the conclusion, so they're not going to pick apart the study. They're going to think the study was reasonable because they agree with the conclusion. So those students that we classified as like a P, you know, they said the sample was random even though it wasn't. Maybe that's actually evidence of confirmation bias. Maybe it's not that they're misunderstanding the statistics. They are misunderstanding the statistics, but maybe it's because of their confirmation bias that they're misunderstanding the statistics. And again, there's just no way to tell because we can't get them to elaborate on it more now after the fact. So it really is difficult. I think there's actually a lot more gray, so to speak, than, I mean, if you remember our color coding from that monstrous Excel table, I think there's a lot more gray here than we might have initially realized. Because I was going back, and when I was thinking about Jennifer Kaplan's paper, what she found with the belief bias is that when they disagree with the conclusion, they pick apart the study. And they might have used context to pick apart the study, but some of them also questioned the design. And so they might use statistics to pick it apart as well. And that was something I hadn't thought of before. So I was kind of, when I went through and reread these conclusions, our expectations, I don't know if it's just because it's been a long time since I've looked at this part of the paper, I suddenly saw it in a completely different light than I had before. Whereas, you know, we've all this time been thinking context, 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 which is true. I think if we see that context, that definitely is evidence of confirmation bias. But I think there's a subtlety that I at least missed before where they could be using statistics as well as part of their confirmation bias, and we wouldn't have been able to tell the difference.
Perla, I think you have good points, but I think that all belongs in what we found from our study because we didn't know any of that. Those were not our expectations up front.
That was what I was going to ask. What's the purpose of this table? Is this what we thought before we did anything?
That's how it reads. And we didn't think any of that. What's written there is what we expected to find, and what's in purple is what we actually found.
No, it's not. What's in purple is when I went back and reevaluated our expected results after rereading all the literature. Well, I didn't reread all the literature. I reread our literature review on confirmation bias and belief bias. Those were my updated expectations. It actually wasn't influenced so much by our results, although I did think of examples from the coding that could kind of support those expectations. But it's all based on our coding scheme, and it's all based on the literature review for confirmation bias and belief bias, which happened prior to actually looking at the results.
Our coding scheme didn't. Not really. We looked at the results and then developed our coding scheme from that.
Well, it happened a little bit simultaneously. I mean, the idea that a misunderstanding, saying it was random when it wasn't, that was a P. I don't think we had to look at the results to know that was a P. I mean, because it was grounded theory, the two did develop a little bit together. We used the coding scheme was ever evolving. But I think what I've picked here as the examples weren't really affected by reading our results. I think if anything, it changes our results. It almost, like I said, it puts more in gray. If we had had a chance to probe their reading more, I think we would have actually found stronger evidence of confirmation bias than we did in the results. Because, like I said before, we've always been focusing on context as evidence of confirmation bias. And when I went back and thought about the literature more, I realized that statistical arguments could also be considered evidence of confirmation bias. And in our coding scheme, we could distinguish between contextual and statistical arguments, but because of the way we collected our answers, we couldn't go back and distinguish between why they were making that statistical argument. We couldn't probe that. Were they making that statistical argument because they did or did not understand the statistics? Or were they making that statistical argument because of their confirmation bias?
Well, I guess if I was a reviewer, I would say if you guys knew that up front, then why didn't you modify your collection?
Right. I agree. So I think we need to present it. I don't know how to change the table here now. But we might have to bring this. I think we do need to bring this up in our discussion and point out, you can have a section on limitations of data collection. So I do think we need to point that out there and say, after the fact, after re-reviewing the literature and going back, we realized this. I also think that, honestly, because of that limitation, the paper should probably focus more on the interview results than on the testing environment results. Right now, we have a lot on the testing because that's where our bigger data collection came. But I think we should make our takeaway message, I think we should expand the interview results and focus on that much more and kind of briefly summarize what we saw with the testing results and then talk about it in light of those limitations. I don't think what we did was necessarily wrong because there were some examples with the extreme confidence, or not confidence, context, like the whole preppy woman from France thing, which, by the way, I'd really like that quoted in the paper somewhere. I don't know if one of us could dig that out, but I think we should have some quotes from the testing environment results as well to show, these are examples of kind of blatant confirmation bias that we really can see. And the good news is there weren't too many examples of blatant confirmation bias. The bad news is there might have been a subtlety to confirmation bias, which we didn't recognize initially, and we can't, by the design that we picked out, we can't distinguish that.
Hmm.
And then I think we need to highlight the testing environment results. I'm sorry, the interview results. And talk about how when we were able to probe reasoning more and it was a more informal setting, we saw more of that. More of that kind of blatant confirmation bias. That being said, I guess what I'm struggling with now is I don't know what we should be presenting out of either the expected results or the actual results from the testing environment. I wonder if maybe what we should be presenting is just the raw codes or just have a single table that kind of summarizes the context, the use of that blatant context. I'm not sure there. What do you all think of this? Because, I mean, at this, Tara and I have been the ones working primarily on the analyses. So maybe I'm just too close to it at this point. Maybe I've been looking at it too long and I can't see it straight anymore. So what do you guys think about all of this?
Well, I see your point. I do. I think we've got much more of, I think we have a very strong point with the interview, a stronger point with the interview results than we do with what happened in the class, the classroom. We've done so much work with the classroom stuff. I think it's just kind of one of those, like, we really don't want to lose all that. We've got so much data for the classroom and so much, we've got little, I mean, I don't, how much data do we have from the interview?
16 or something.
16.
Yeah.
And it just, like, so little.
Yeah. I'm actually not terribly concerned about that, considering the journal that we're targeting. I know people have written papers with N of 3. You can do that in qualitative research, and you can do that with interviews. I think what we should do is figure out the core message from the testing environment results and present that succinctly so that we don't lose that piece. And I think it's important. I think it's also an important contribution of the field to bring up the methodological difficulties we ran into, because I think what we did, it made sense and it was approachable for us. It was a good way for us to get data, and I imagine there are a lot of other people doing similar things. So I think for us to talk about our limitations with that is still, it's still an important contribution to the field. So I think we can get not only the results out of that and sort of the substantive contribution, I think we can also get a methodological contribution. Even though it's small, it's something. Then I think we just need to go through and highlight those interviews more. And like I said, make them the focus of the paper. So I almost think we should go back and find, you know, maybe include, instead of just snippets and quotes, maybe include a few more detailed transcripts to see. Like, if you go down to the section on the interviews, there were a few quotes here that really beautifully summarized or illustrated confirmation bias, like the kid that's talking about Mac PC. You know, maybe we can just pull that interview more and actually include more of a transcript and talk about that a little bit more. Maybe we can pull a few more quotes here And I think we just need, we've been thinking about the testing environment situation as, I think in some sense, the bigger part of the paper because we had the bigger N. I think we just need to let the whole big N thing go and focus on the interviews, because I do think that's really where the meat of the paper is going to come from. And I think small N isn't a problem for Surge.
Okay. Yeah, and it's not that necessarily the small N, but, yeah, we need to really expand the analysis of it. Because, no, I've seen small sample sizes. It's just we got to be a little bit more in-depth with our analysis of it. And, yeah, I think if we do the flow of it, if we explain how what we did in the classroom drove, to kind of somehow arrange it or write it so that we talk about how what we did in the classroom drove the interview. Well, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but why it drove us to that. That's not how I want to put it, but you know what I'm saying. I think actually that will, I think some of the qualitative stuff that I've been reading, that'll actually kind of all come together.
I don't know how we're going to expand the interview section. I spent 2 entire days, and that's as much as I could come up with on the interview data.
Well, do you have transcripts for it?
Yeah, I emailed you guys all my transcripts.
Did you?
Sarah does. I don't have transcripts. All I have is notes because I didn't consent to audio tape.
Okay. Well, I mean, did you send us your notes? Am I supposed to have that somewhere?
You guys have emails with my transcripts, and you have all the data summarized from the interviews from, it would have been the middle of the semester, last semester.
Because what I was thinking is that, you know, the rest of us could kind of take a look at it and see if we come up with any other, because I, you know, to be honest, never did an analysis of it or looked at it particularly closely. I don't know if Hurley, you did.
I remember reading through them when Tara first sent them, but I probably wasn't looking at it with kind of a critical analytic eye. So I should probably go back and revisit them.
Yeah, because I spent 2 entire days just staring at the data and trying to figure out what to do with it, and what we had here, what I had written with the interview mixed with the discussion was all I could come up with. So I don't know. Maybe if you guys look at it, you'll think of something else to do with it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe not, but we could at least give it a shot.
If we're left with quotes instead of transcripts, that might not be bad. I think we just need to try and expand them a little bit. And I think it would help if we could pull some quotes from the testing environment scenarios so that we have some illustrations there of what we did see in terms of confirmation bias. Trying to find Tara's transcripts.
I think I sent the transcripts out separately from the
interview results.
Yeah, I was going to say, would we be able to go back, just kind of skimming through this? I noticed you looked at, like, you know, whether they use context on the test versus whether they did it in the interview, and you kind of gave percentages and things. But what we could do is we could look at, it might be interesting to compare what their response to a particular question looked like on the test, like actually have the quote. I don't know if I'm just spitballing here, versus their response in the interview. Like, I actually have that, like, comparison quote.
The only ones that would work for are the limited number of scenarios that I have where they both, where there was agreement.
Okay. Well, even
like
if not,
there was only 9 of the 16 students.
That match in terms of the strength of the student belief and the type of sample between test and interview questions.
Yeah, there are only 9 students who had matching scenarios.
Well, even just one, just to kind of...
Yeah.
1 or 2.
I think that's actually a good idea.
Just so we can kind of illustrate the difference between what we were seeing on the test. I think you kind of, well, I guess we already do kind of get at it with, but it would be kind of interesting to just see it across one student or across 1 or 2 students. But just the difference in the type of responses we were trying to analyze on a test question versus the type of responses we then were analyzing in an interview.
Well, and ironically, I don't know if this is good or bad, but there was the one interview I did that was accidentally the Mac PC that we did on the test.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually would have that exact student's Mac test question versus interview.
But was it the same level of agreement? And the same type of sample. That's.
I don't remember if it was the same type of sample or not.
I'm trying. It would be on the summary I sent to you guys, which I'm trying to find in my email.
I found an email from you that said interview results from August 31st, 2011. It has interview transcripts and then a separate document, interview results. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm trying to find. When is it?
August
31st, 2011. Nope, that's not it. There was a separate table I sent. That has the transcripts, but there was another, maybe I only sent it to Jackie. Hold on. Because Jackie and I were working on the interview results. Maybe I only sent it to her. I think I have it on my work PC. I don't have it on my home because I was working on it while my students were doing exams for those 2 days.
I guess it where it has each student listed separately.
Yes, and it had the scenarios, and it had them highlighted, the ones that agreed, and do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I have an open about having, like, being highlighted or anything.
That's what it says. I'll look for it. I'll email it when I find it. Because I had it all on a table. Oh, here it is. I only sent it to Jackie. All right. Your Mac PCs didn't match, Jackie.
Oh, boo.
What do you mean by match?
The, hold on. The samples didn't match. One was biased, one was random. The student had neutral opinion for both. But he did use context, or she did use context in the interview, but not in the testing.
Hmm.
So if we've talked earlier where we had, if we've discussed somewhere else where the bias versus the randomness of the sample didn't matter, then we'd be able to use that one. I actually compared your MAC versus the irradiation for that student, Jackie, because they had neutral for both and they had bias samples for both of those scenarios. I'm going to forward this to you guys.
Okay.
Ignore the write-up. That's an old write-up, but look at the one that says interviews underscores tests when you get it. Which email am I using for you, Herla, the HMMC? Mm-hmm. All right, I found that. While we're waiting for that, somebody wrote in the paper, that they emailed me a reference, and I don't know what reference they're talking about. It's up where I have the... I don't know who wrote the comment either.
No, might have been me, actually.
It's in section, I think it is, Elise, it's in section 2. It's where we say, as referenced in.
Yeah, you said that.
What reference are you talking about that you sent me?
Oh, okay. So they were talking about a different study, Russell, Shifter, and Bastable.
Right.
And I actually found the original study that Connells and Higgins were talking about, because in Connells and Higgins it says it's going to be in press. So it did a little digging, and I just apparently forgot to send it to you. So it's on my desktop. Hold on, I had to take a screenshot of it. I'll send that to you.
Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure which.
Yeah,
like, you may have sent it, and I just couldn't find it. I just wasn't sure what you're talking about.
I didn't know, because basically what it is like a video series or something that talks about, like, teachers doing different activities. And so Connells and Higgins did describe what the teachers were doing. So I didn't know if we needed to reference the original reference or not. I figured maybe we could just cover our bases.
Well, the way I did it is the way that is was on the APA reference book if it was cited somewhere else.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I'll leave it up to you, because, I mean, we got Connells and Higgins all over the place anyway, but I don't know if you want to put this in here or not.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Is it okay to use an as cited in, or do you want the original?
Well, if we've looked at the original, I would use the original.
Did you actually look at it, Lee?
I found the website that it's on. You actually have to pay money to get to the one. So I found out what it is, but no, I didn't look at it per se, if that makes sense. It's like the developing mathematical ideas. It's like this series of, like, educational materials, part of a bigger project.
Hira, did you say that my student that did both questions, you had a neutral opinion down for?
No. I just closed my thing. Hold on. I thought so, but maybe not.
I had him on as a 1 on that question.
Hold on. I do have them as a 1. Let me see what I put them as. I have to find all those papers. They're in my bookshelf. I also have to remember what coding I used for. I did. I have an N. It should read a nun then. All right. So it goes to a nun. Oh, no, it goes to a strong. Oh, shit. All right. I'll have to go back through them. I thought I triple-checked these to make sure they were okay.
I'm sorry, I was just looking it up. Like, I would have expected with all those comments you would have had a strong opinion.
No, I went through and I thought I had gone through them three times, but maybe I didn't. I'll double-check them all. So. Yeah, I have them as an N, which would have been a neutral because I used an N, an SD, an SA, and a non. All right, I'll have to go back then. And maybe I just looked at the wrong row for him.
It looks like the guy above him is actually pretty neutral across the board.
Was he an N for radiation, do you remember? Let me look. I just opened the data sheet.
This student was a 6 for irradiation, too.
Okay. Then I don't know what I did with him.
Sorry, wait a minute. That's the luggage one. Never mind. I can't find the irradiation one.
Okay. I have him for the strong disagree for luggage, so. All right. I'll have to go back and look at these then. I'm going to be so glad when we get this paper done. I'm so sick of looking at the data.
I know that what I was talking about today kind of throws a little bit of a wrench into things, and I'm sorry about that, but I've really been struggling with the results, like what are the right results to present and things, and I wonder if this may be part of the reason why. You know, I think we were maybe missing something, or I was at least missing something initially, and I think, you know, we have some good stuff with the interviews, but we, like I said, just need to switch our focus a little bit. I don't think it means, you know, that we have to start over again.
All right. Well, you guys look at what I did for the interviews. Obviously, I need to go back through them because if there's one mistake, there may be another mistake. And I did this table by hand. I printed out the SAS results. And I went through and I pulled everything by hand, so
okay.
I will have to go back through all that and double check.
So maybe we can just kind of look and see if we can sort of qualitatively expand a little bit on what Tara did. Anything else that perhaps we should focus on today?
Well, in the draft I sent Tara, I went back and did a huge Mac PC edit.
Awesome.
So that all the capital versus lowercase levels matched.
Nice.
So if we start writing that up in the interviews, you want us to be
yes.
smack us if we messed it up?
You took out the versus too, Jackie, didn't you? You put a slash between them.
I tried to make it more common. That way as well, except for like in the actual question wording, because if that's the way the question was worded, I didn't want to change that.
What about earlier in the paper? Do we want to keep the versus or do we want to get rid of that? Because it's earlier, there's references to the Mac versus PC question earlier.
I think the first time we present all of the questions, it might be reasonable to give them a little bit more description, and then we can kind of shorthand it later in the paper.
Lee, in your updated lit review, you reference a Knold article from 1989. Is that the Knold and Kazakh article that's in Mendeley? Is that something else?
I think that's the one in 1989. That's the one in Mendeley.
There's no date in the...
Oh, that would be my bad. I'll double-check it, but, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the one in Mendeley.
Okay, so it's Knold.
Was the article not... Yeah.
Yeah, the article's not actually in Mendeley.
Okay, yeah, because it was one that I had to, like, go off fishing for. Oh, and, yeah, did anybody know which... I don't know if anybody looked at this. Watson 2005.
It's...
Did anybody know which one that was?
I don't think it's 1995. I think it's the 2000V one.
2000B was that?
Yeah,
the
I
one?
Actually commented that in the version in
oh,
the version paper
sorry.
I sent.
I didn't see that. Sorry.
I'm pretty. I don't think it's 1995. I'm pretty sure it's the 2000B one.
Okay, then I will go back and fix that because I'm like looking through all the Watson articles. I'm like, she has like five articles in 1995. Which one did we look at?
Because the only ones that we put in Mendeley were the 2000 ones, and I'm pretty sure those were the two that we referred to.
Okay.
Or
yeah,
the 2003 one, too, but I'm pretty sure we were referring to the two that were in 2000.
Okay. Yeah, there was just like a list of articles that we said we needed to expand on, and so I was like, okay, well, I'll expand on those, and so I was trying to find the articles and expand on them in that one. I was like, what are we talking about here? Okay. And I'm still working on the qualitative stuff, which actually looks like it's going to be a little bit more important if we're going to do the interview stuff. So,
the only on your changes, you took out the subsections on confirmation bias and belief bias.
Yeah.
Do we not want subsections? We can't have any bold, so I changed your bold to italics.
Oh, we can't have any bold. Okay.
No, we're not allowed to have bold.
I know,
so
we can put it back. I just was, I didn't really like the way it looked. I don't know why.
Because it was, I agree. It's weird to have the inline section name.
But yeah, now you can't, I mean, it's not even, it's not highlighted at all.
Well, I changed it to italics in the version that I sent. I just, that's what we're allowed. We're allowed italics if we want to emphasize. We're not allowed to underline, and we're not allowed to bold. So I can do a subheading confirmation and belief bias and just get it all done at the start of that. It will just be the bold at the start of that paragraph. It needs to be on the same line as the paragraph. It can't be separate.
Where are we talking about?
Oh, sorry. In the version I sent, it's section 2.2, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got a little fun with the inventory. I took some stuff. I was just playing around with it, and I took out the inventory because I just didn't like the way it looked. So I was kind of playing around with it, and I didn't put it back. But I didn't realize you couldn't do bold.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, sorry.
I don't think we need it in bold or even necessarily in italics. Like, I think it's fine without subject headings. I think we can just have it in there as text.
So you don't want a subheading on confirmation and belief bias?
Didn't we talk that unless we were going to completely distinguish between the two, we probably shouldn't separate?
We are distinguishing between the two, though. We have a description of them separately. Oh, you mean in our actual results?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're fine the way it is.
So, you're missing a period there. Okay. Sorry, I just found a typo.
Actually, no italics or anything?
It is kind of a long section without any.
I don't know. I think it's, well, that's me. I think it's okay as it is. When I went through and reread it, that the lack of subject headings did not bother me. I think I remember Kara saying we couldn't have bold. So I think when I was going through and rereading it, I just took them out of bold. But other than that, I think it looks fine.
Okay. Okay. I'll go back and fix the typos. I'm the queen of typos.
I know what you mean. I can never find my own typos either.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to have to get going in a few minutes here. What is our plan of attack then?
Well, I think the rest of us are going to, well, at least you and me, Harla, since we haven't really done so, we're going to take a look at the interviews.
Right.
see if there's anything else we can expand on. I'm going to work on the qualitative section because I'm already working on that anyway. I'm not sure where we're going to put it, but we'll find somewhere to put it. And what else do we need to be looking
at
here?
We need to add the limitations section. I don't know where that would go.
It would go as part of the discussion.
Okay.
I think it would just be like a subheading under the discussion, limitations and, you know, plans for future research, that sort of thing.
One thing with the opinion survey, the interview group was not consistent with the irradiation question compared to the overall sample. The overall sample was neutral for the irradiation question. The interview group was split for the irradiation question. I sent you guys the graphs for the interview groups last night as a PDF file. I mentioned it in the discussion, but I didn't put the other graph. I just mentioned that the opinion survey results were consistent. Do you guys think we need the graphs in there for the opinion or the interview people?
I wouldn't think we need the graphs as long as we mention it.
Okay. I redid the graphs yesterday. I haven't uploaded the new version of SAS, so I just clicked at them and jumped because it was fastest. It's what I had working at the moment. But once I install my SAS again, I'll fix them. And I'll have to install SAS again today if I want to look at the interview results.
Well, I can look at trying to compare one of my interview students with their in-class results, if you'd like, a couple of them maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would be good. So, yeah, kind of take a look at the interview stuff as well.
One other thing quick before Hurley goes. Hurley, the email you sent last night, I already had done that in the PowerPoint, the breakdown of scenario assignment.
So if I'm looking at those tables now, if I'm reading it correctly, is 23 the sample size or the number of people who had, so if you're looking at table 7, is 23 the sample size or the number of people who used unnecessary context?
It's the number of people who were in that category, who were strongly agreed and had a biased sample.
But I want to know then among them how many used context.
Okay. I thought you just wanted a breakdown of how many people were assigned to each to lead into the other table.
No, I want the context presented within these tables.
That's table, what I now have, table 13.
Scrolling down.
That's what that is.
Right. I started to realize that after I emailed you, I think what we should do, if we're going to keep table 5 with the expectations in there, which we might decide we don't want to, we might decide there's another way we need to present our expectations. I think what happened was, honestly, there was our informal hypothesis of because of confirmation bias, they'll use more context. And then there was our formal hypothesis, which broke that down much more. And I don't know if we really needed the breakdown. And I think in hindsight, we weren't thinking about the breakdown appropriately, or weren't realizing that it is more subtle than just context. So maybe we decide we don't want to keep table 5, and then we have some freedom in how we present the results. If we decide that we want to keep table 5 in there, then I want to have tables that exactly mirror table 5 for each of those contexts. So it's very easy just to pull the numbers out. I think the tables where we have, table 13, the more I looked at it, the more I started to like it. So we might be able to just keep it in there and redo table 5. But if we keep table 5 as is, I think we should break table 13 up to better mimic that. Because I do think sometimes it can get confusing when you're presenting all of the results in the same table, because it can sometimes get confusing about, okay, what cells am I supposed to be comparing here, or what am I supposed to be looking at?
So you want table 13 divided up for MAC PC matching exactly table 5, tuition, matching exactly table five and luggage. You want to turn this into three tables and what mimic table five? Is that what you're saying?
Well, before we do that, I want to decide if we need to keep table five at all, or
okay,
if there's a better way to articulate our hypotheses. Like,
so
I said, maybe we just need to go in and say, really, our hypothesis that's been guiding our analyses so far was very simply more context indicates confirmation bias. Maybe we just need to redo our expectations to state that, given some of the, given my reevaluation of table five and some of my concerns about it.
And then
maybe while Lee and I kind of look at the interview results, Jackie and Tara, you can look at the expectations and decide what is the most concise way to state our expectations that's really consistent with what we thought. Because I think there was a little bit of a disconnect between our thinking that was influencing our actions in the analyses we were producing and the thinking that we wrote down on this document. So maybe you guys can go back and look at that part, and Lee and I will look at the interviews, and maybe it'll all benefit from having, you know, fresh eyes on the different parts of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just remember, like, when I was reading through, when I sat down just to read it all, so I started with our introduction, went through our literature review, and then read our expectations, I remember clearly thinking, no, that's not right. And then I continued reading down on and realized later where I had contradicted myself and realized that at some point in this process, my thinking about this changed. And the document then wasn't coherent. So we need to figure out what's the coherent story we have to tell. What are the coherent expectations or the expectations that were really motivating us? Or if we decide that no, table five really is what we need, then we need to make sure our analyses reflect that. So that's, I think that's the next decision. Are the expectations presented the way they should be? Or do we need to have them some other way? All right, and unfortunately, I am going to have to sneak out because I have to go get the candidate now. So I will certainly say that for my part, I will start to look at the interview transcripts. I will also see if I can go through and better articulate some of my new thoughts about our expectations and kind of what I have been thinking overall.
Jackie and I should probably look through our test results and scan in just those students who were interviewed as well so that everybody has both sets of data.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And Jackie, if you could send us your notes on the interviews too.
Okay.
That would be really, really good.
All right. Meeting next Friday?
Sure.
Is someone not next Friday? Was it you, Lee?
Oh, wait. What the
hell? That's right, because we're going to have to wait.
Oh, Justin's going to have surgery, yeah.
Oh.
Supposedly he's going to have surgery, so yeah, I got to go 2 weeks out, or I just can't do next Friday.
For me, I can do Mondays, Wednesdays, or Fridays, more or less any time during those days. So if you guys just want to work out a time that works for you within those, you can email me what you find.
Okay.
All right. Have a good weekend, everyone. And I will talk to you soon whenever we figure out a call.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Lee, was the qualitative research article?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at it much, but
not really.
I was thinking the Krieber, the 2002 reference, it sounds really good from the introduction to that whole special edition.
Okay.
The Krieber article sounds really good. I pulled up the reference, and I have no idea how they got this paragraph out of that reference. So I really have no idea.
Okay. Okay.
I mean the reference talks all about like the different types of studies that you can do for qualitative and you know, a more systematic approach, a scholarly reflection versus an observational study. And I thought maybe we could pull that in somehow. But when I pulled up that article, I didn't see any of that in there. So I don't know if they gave the wrong reference or what. But the other papers didn't seem like they had much. I need to, the one that's not in English might have something. I don't know if anybody reads French.
Other than la plage means the pool, that's about all I know. I remember that from like 7th grade French.
I don't know. I used to be able to read French, but I'm not, it would take me days probably to get through that right now. And Steve, I don't have at the moment.
No, I think we don't need to get that
but there is an English summary after it, but I don't know if it's okay to reference a paper if you haven't actually read the paper and only read the English summary.
I think that's okay. I mean, I don't know, actually. I have to check on that.
Yeah, I don't know about that in terms of APA requirements. And then the other one was the last one, the Pitogs and Newberry. Those were the ones that seemed like they may have something. I was really at high hopes for the Krieber one until I actually downloaded the article and read it.
All right.
But I didn't read it in detail.
I hadn't had a chance to look at Randy's.
No.
No?
Randy's was all about the more like the problems that have resurfaced. He addressed, is qualitative research scientific? Is it rigorous? Is it generalizable? Is it useful beyond exploratory studies? Things like that. Which I don't think is really going to help us much. Because I think we're coming, I don't think we have to justify the fact that we used qualitative research for the study.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be, well, okay. I'll try to put something together. But, yeah, thanks for kind of leading me toward the ones that seem to be more helpful than others.
The Krieber one, if you have time, if you look at under the introduction to the whole journal, the special edition, under qualitative approaches, the second paragraph under there, it talks about the Krieber stuff. And that really seemed to be the most relevant. But again, when I downloaded the reference, I just don't see it. So. Okay, so I didn't screw up, Jackie?
I don't think so, but I didn't realize there was two of them.
But okay.
I looked at the opposite one that you were currently looking at.
You really scared me. I'm like, but I went through this so many times. How did I screw it up?
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. My classes are a bit more than I expected this week, so I'm kind of a spaz today. I wasn't expecting 4 homework assignments due the first week of class. So, all right. Okay. So I'll still go back through them, but I'm not freaking out as much now.
Well, I'm going to definitely focus on looking at my interviews then in class and see if I can find ways of comparing, especially if I have the two students who got both Mac and PC on in-class versus interview. And then I'll also look for good quotes in my students' written responses.
If you look at the thing I just sent to you.
Huh.
Okay.
What are you looking for? What are you doing?
Sorry. Don't mind me. I'm talking to myself.
The interview test?
Yeah. If you can compare your student who was neutral on the Mac PC with, no, that won't matter. I was going to say with neutral on radiation because I consider those to be comparable. Does that make sense? Because they had the same, they were classified the same with the strength of their opinion and they had the same in terms of their type of sample, and he didn't use context in the test, but he or she did use context in the interview. Do you see what I'm talking about? That first line, the two that are kind of like the pinkish color?
Yeah.
Those were two that I compared directly. And for your other student who did the Mac PC, you might be able to compare those because he had a strong disagree for one and a strong agree for the other. So he had strong opinions about both. They were just opposing opinions. But he had the same sample type, too.
For which two?
Those were both the Mac PC. You also may be able to compare his for tuition and marijuana.
Okay, but I have a strange question. How does he have a different Mac PC opinion for the test versus interview?
Because he had different scenarios.
Okay, so that's the scenario, not their opinion.
Yeah. Did he strongly disagree or did he strongly agree? Because remember, strong disagree and strong agree was classified based on the conclusion of the scenario that they received in addition to their opinion survey.
Okay.
So it just means that he had the scenario he was given on the exam was one where he would have strongly disagreed, whereas the scenario he gave in the interview was one where he would have had strong agreement. So I'm assuming one was a PC conclusion and one was a MAC conclusion based
right.
on this. Does that make sense? And that's something to think about because I didn't consider those to be matched when I did this originally. In hindsight, should I have considered those as matches and looked at those?
I don't know, but I mean, it's kind of weird for him that, I mean, on the testing scenario, even though he disagreed with the conclusion, he didn't bring in concepts, but he did when he agreed with it.
Right.
Interesting.
Because the only ones that I consider to be matches were ones where they had the same type of sample and they had the exact same classification, the strongly disagreed. So, like, for him, I compared the tuition and the marijuana question. One, he didn't use context. The other, he did. So he didn't in the test, but he did in the interview.
I mean, I think for him, I don't think you have to consider that a match there, but it might be an interesting thing to bring into the results.
Right. And I guess that gets into more of the qualitative aspects of, even though it's not considered a match for the quantitative pieces that I'm doing, it's something we could talk about. All right. Conference call times. Monday and Wednesday, I teach or have meetings from 9 until 5. I can only meet after 5 on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Yikes. Well, do you want to just go 2 weeks out?
That's what I'm thinking.
Not meet until the 3rd? I'm fine with that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we have some pretty big assignments here. I mean, just Lee and her, just looking at the interview, since you haven't looked at them, that's going to take some time.
Sorry.
Did you follow the whole discussion? So we just had, do you understand how I did the table, Lee?
More or less, yeah.
Okay. Because I just realized I don't have an explanation anywhere. Like, well, it makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
So on the table, the first thing is whether or not they used context. The second one is what classification they would have been, strong agree, strong disagree, neutral, or none.
Okay.
And then the last one is the last row in each box is the type of sample they have.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good.
You said the second row is what?
The second row is what they would have been classified as. So did they, based on the scenario they received, the version of the scenario, would they have been a strong agree, strong disagree? Would they have been a neutral, or would they be none of those?
Okay.
So none would be those two that we didn't use. The 3 and the 5. I should probably send an email to her, Alyssa, so she knows, too.
Okay.
So the 3rd at 10?
Yeah.
Works for me.
Sounds good. Perhaps I'll be able to talk then. Better.
Hopefully. How are you teaching your classes if you can't talk?
Hand signals. I can talk well enough. It just kind of hurts. I'm doing a lot of sort of worksheet activity kind of things, too. So I just have one more class today, so if I can make it through that one, I'll be good to go.
Cough drops.
Well, yeah, I got a big bag of those.
I have to go type my syllabi. I have not submitted my syllabi for my 9 a.m. class on Monday yet.
Nice.
So I'm going to go do that so I actually have something to hand out to my students.
That might be a good idea.
Yes. I've been focusing on getting my homework assignments done. Like, you know, you pay all that money for classes. You want to make sure that you get your work done for them. It's not like I get anything from the college. It's all out of pocket. So.
I was going to say, can you explain that to my students, actually?
Yeah, but their parents pay. That's the difference.
I know.
When I put one entire paycheck every month to my college courses, I want to make sure I get out of them what I'm going to.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I got to let you guys go, so.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, you have class, don't you?
Who, me? No, I don't have class till 2.
Oh, I thought you had class at 11 on Fridays or something.
No, that was last year.
Last year. All right, so February 3rd at 10, and I will email her with the time because I also have to email her a description of the interview test document. So I'll just email her and let her know what time we decided on.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So I will talk to you all on February 3rd. Have a good couple of weeks.
You too.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.